seriously. Oh, we talked.
Whoa.
We cold talked it.
Okay. Right, gotta go. Yeah.
Welcome to the Bogey Boys podcast.
You're joined here by Kevin and Mark, as always. It's been a little break there. I've missed you.
It's been a while.
Well, I say I've missed you. I've missed you sitting here.
We've been together, but we haven't. We've been together, but not together.
Yeah.
On the pod, at least.
I know, exactly. Yeah.
It has been a while. We had a bit of a dip, haven't we?
Well, it's one of them. Life gets in the way, like I was saying on the gram yesterday. Like, life just throws things at you, and you've just got to deal with them and get back up and try again, haven't you?
Yeah.
Keep it consistent. Like, you're 2 episodes a week for 14 months, whatever we've done is good going, really, yeah. Isn't it? We were keeping it going through, like, what? You were in Wales in a car.
Remember that?
I was in Madeira, you were in Mallorca, like.
Yeah.
We missed a trick there, not doing a pod together in Portugal, didn't we, really?
Yeah, but I think no fit stay for any pods in Portugal, to be honest. It was golf, meal, beer, bed, golf, meal, beer, bed. Bit of karaoke.
Yeah, repeat.
Repeat, yeah. Hey, what a trip, though.
That was great, yeah. It was great. Do you know what I'd say, though? Leaving that one, which is like a piss up on, like, with easy greens and all that, and turning up at the PGA one.
Oh, fucking hell, there we go.
No, there was plus
easy greens. That way, how'd you play shite then?
Because that was carrying you around.
Yeah, I was carrying you.
Oh, was you now?
Yeah, remember that drama?
The only one that you hit all holiday.
Fucking hell, I don't know what was with me.
No, that was a shite course. We played me and you on it. We got dogged there, didn't we?
We did, yeah.
But, like, this other course, like, there was literally, like, plus one handicappers putting into lakes. Putting 10-foot.
Was it?
10-footer. Putted, missed the hole. Oh, just shaved the hole. Bit too fast. Carried on down a slope. Went into the lake.
That's heavy.
Yeah.
That's heavy.
This other lad had a 10... Had like
is
a,
that not silly golf, though? If it's just...
You got to miss on the right side. Like Paul was saying, like, you need to get this side of this flag, otherwise we're dead.
Fuck
and then,
hell.
Like,
so happy I never played.
And then he hit it. This lad hit it long, and then this one fellow went first to show him the line, and he put it. It hit the back of the hole, and Paul's like, "That's the only way this is stopping." Like, if this creeps past the hole, you're gonna have a 60-yarder back in. And we were like,
"I don't enjoy that golf, mate."
Like, and then he tapped, breathed on it. It started rolling a little bit more pace, a little more pace. Got to the hole. As it got to the hole, picked up more pace. Went through the fringe, down the thing. Like, and he had like a 60-yard uphill pitch back into the hole. Went and fucking played it.
I'd just leave it to the lads, mate.
Like, we needed them.
Oh my God.
Like, it was horrible. Some of the.
How did the tournament go in general then? Because that was a proper tournament, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, it was weird. Like, because obviously you were there when Paul first turned up, weren't you? This is Paul Kinnear. For anyone that's listening, probably heard his pod and probably seen a few of the stories or whatever, but. So he got drunk his first night, and then we were just getting over everything sort of while we were like into the first round and stuff. Do you know what I mean? So then even like we didn't have no drinks, and then we had like a sauna steam, got all calm and all that and ready. And then he was in like the hungover sort of shaky stage still. Not like it's hard. You got to be pissed or sober, haven't you? There's no in between. You're fucked, aren't you?
The recovery session's the worst.
Oh, yeah. So then the next day, he slapped it round. I've never seen anyone slap it round in 3 under. Like, his putter was pulling him out of shit, yeah. And then the last round, he didn't do too well either. But he shot level for the 3 rounds, like, come, like, sixth. But, like...
It was a good score, though. 15 under. 15 under.
Yeah.
Going,
but this lad, Chappie, who was out with us, he was, like... He's coming on the pod. He said he'll definitely do it. Like, he was on Challenge a few years ago, and he hit it a mile. Like, he just hit it miles.
I've seen the videos after it left, like, on the story.
Yeah, where he's hitting it, or he rips it, man. And then he had a putt for 10 under, but he's won over through six.
In one round, I've seen that, yeah.
He's won over through the first six, and then he went 10 under for the next 12.
Wow.
He went on a bit of a run.
Like, it sounds like.
A bit of a run. Like.
A bit of a sprint.
Like, what is, like, it's just mad. It's just the level. You could see the ball striking and everything was just like a level above.
I know we'll get him on the poddy and that, but what? So Challenge Tour, what? He just lost his card and he's just trying.
Do you know
to
what?
Back.
I think he ran out of money and stuff.
Was it?
I don't think he's got the most switched on head for things either. Like I think he was drinking during that 10 under.
Brilliant.
Do you know what I mean?
He's my type of guy.
He's our type of guy. He is. But there's a few big names there, like that Gary Wulstenholme was there.
Yeah, Gary Wulstenholme. I'm seeing Philip Archer.
Philip Archer was there. Yeah. there. That Alex Evans was there. He come dead last.
Did he?
Yeah.
That's it, man.
I gave him that golf for CBD, didn't I, on the last day?
I see in the video.
And yeah. He was like, yeah, the golf still was shit, but I just didn't care as much. So yeah, the tablets worked. He's a good guy, him. Proper yeah. good guy.
He's a nice lad, isn't he?
Yeah, proper. Yeah.
Hopefully we'll be getting him in a word on the pod soon.
No, 1,000,000%, yeah. Which one more little thing about that, right? So we were trying not to drink, so we're all going around, like, just trying to have a little meal, get to bed. And then one of the lads like, do you want to go in the casino? I was like, oh, well, I used to go when I was a kid, so that, when we were in Myersco and all
that.
So I popped down, I was like, look, this is how much the world wants us to have a bevy, right? I said, I'm going to put a fiver on 13, and if that comes in, how hard is it going to be not to have a pint after that? Do you know what I mean? So I went in, put a fiver, seen it spinning, just closed my eyes, opened it, 13 coming, and I was like, oh my God.
Is like, that like 35-1, is it?
Yeah, yeah, like 185 back, and I was like, oh, and she's like, no, sir, you win. I was like, no, I know, yeah, like, long story, like, long what, do you story, know what I mean? Yeah.
You don't know what's
the point. Oh, yeah, the drink's like €2.50 in the casino.
And did you refrain?
No, we had one.
Just had the one, we had
to, yeah, you know what I mean?
At the one.
I didn't want to win any more money, so yeah, the case went off the map.
No, but it was a good trip. Weather was perfect.
Amazing.
The company was amazing. The golf courses were lovely, and I don't know what your course like, but that Vel de Lobo was nice, I thought.
That was like a Muni, that.
Compared to the others,
yeah.
Was it, yeah.
Compared to them Quinta North and South, yeah. Like, honestly.
And shout out to Peter Finch as well, Golf Mates Travel.
Yeah.
Put on a great event.
He did.
Very well organized.
The best thing that I've took from it is that splitting the four ball up.
Do you mean you play with two randomers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because one, you get to meet other people. Yeah. You meet some legends, don't you? Like them Kirkpatrick brothers that me and Danny played with.
Yeah.
Neil
yeah.
and Mark, legends.
Yeah.
And then obviously you get to meet more people. But then, as you say, it stops all the fucking four ball, better ball, 25 unders coming in.
Yeah, no, you know it was. I mean? It was quite a close competition. One at the end, there was a thing when we were sitting there waiting for the final groups to come in. Everyone was trying to calculate what they needed.
Yeah.
Because it was, just for anyone listening, it was two teams, wasn't it? You had your four ball, but it was two teams of two. So for the first 2 days in the better ball, it was your better score that counted. But on
out the two ball, better ball, the best 18 hole cumulative out the pair won it.
Won it, yeah. And then on the last day, it was both scores counted. So if someone had a 28, you were out of it. Weren't you? Coming in last day, you and Frank had a 40.
Me and Frank, well,
42, me,
I was asking for separate buggies at the start, weren't I? Saying, like,
no, he's the best
mate. I was like, I can't sit next to him for 18 holes. Next minute, man, I started birdie, par, birdie. And then I'm going to like the sixth or seventh tee. Frank goes, right, now let's just dig in, Kev. I'm like, dig in, mate. I'm fucking 400. You haven't even been on the scorecard. But then we just dovetailed perfectly when every time, like, you pitched in with a bit, yeah, it was boss.
Yeah, brilliant. No, it was good. And, you know, like I said, the Golf Mates Travel put on a great event.
No, they did, yeah.
It was well organised. You know, can't say anything bad about it. Can't wait to go back next year as well.
No, the PGA put on a good one as well. The organisation of it, like, everyone meets at, like, that Kinta range, in a way, like, the McGinley's got the bay and all that. And, like, you get your free range balls and you just go and...
But no, the weather was perfect. Everything was good about it, wasn't it?
Oh, amazing, man.
Can't complain. Can't wait to get back out there whenever the next one is.
Well, yeah, there's one in February.
Is there?
Yeah.
Are you going to it?
If you want to go, yeah.
My wedding in April. Could be a bit close, that.
Didn't ask you when your fucking wedding was, did I? Yeah, see how Pedon goes, eh?
Let's see how it does, yeah. But listen, look, we've been away for a few weeks, haven't we? And a lot's happened, hasn't it?
The only one thing's happened in my mind.
Is it?
Tiger Woods is a golf shot. And that's all. And
should we get into that
show
time
over.
Again then?
Show over.
Let's get into that time again.
Yeah. It's that time again, y'all. The birdie boogie buzz. The birdie boogie buzz.
Birdie boogie buzz. So that's got to be our birdie, hasn't it?
It's the birdie of, obviously, is it yours as well?
Oh, fucking hell.
Do you know what I mean? And I think it's the birdie of the season.
Definitely,
it's
yeah.
the birdie of since we started the birdies.
We said a couple of weeks back, or maybe even a couple of months back, like the scenes when he hits that one shot. When we see him, we were talking about even just seeing him with a club in his hand.
In his hand, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And then to, like, out of nowhere, bang, a video comes up, and you're just like,
how's he kept that on the low though? That's not his first shot, is it?
Well, he had a full bucket of balls, didn't he? Yeah, they would have.
That's what I mean. But like, how's no one like clocked that or papped it from the side or like? You know what I mean? Where is he?
It's Tiger Woods, isn't it? You know what I mean? Yeah. He's been sneaking about for years, hasn't
no,
he?
No, I suppose, yeah.
He's the master of it.
Fucking hell, yeah, he is, isn't he?
It's just great to see him back, you know?
Mate.
Did you ever have doubts in your mind to think, like,
Not
oh,
once.
Yeah. No, he's no, always no. Yeah. It's Tiger.
The only you tried to put out to me, man, didn't you? Saying like the leading osteopath said it'd be amazing. What? Remember?
Well, they said yeah,
it'd be a miracle if he walks or something.
No, well, they said it. They said at the beginning it'll be a miracle that he's actually walking again. Never mind playing golf again.
Yeah.
And then the next update was it's good that he's back walking and he's active and he's out there, but be very unlikely he's gonna play at the Masters. Never mind play next year. Never mind play at the Masters. And now like there's rumors that he's gonna be playing next month at the PNC Championship with his kid Charlie.
He needs sacking him.
Well, it's Tiger Woods, you know what I mean? He's just whatever you say, Tiger Woods can't do, well, he basically can do it. Like,
no, remember what did I say? He'd be astounded, and I said, well, Tiger Woods is the astounder, so he's sitting there just astounded, and that fella, whoever he is,
yeah. And we've got that player initiative program as well, hasn't he?
Just like, yeah.
Brooks and Bryson have been at it, haven't they, for weeks, and we've got the match coming up, and you're thinking, are they going to take it? The social media, one video done,
mate. I was watching through all of them. Like, everyone posted it, everyone reshared it, and I was watching as if, like, it was something different. Yeah, I just kept watching it, like, wow, wow. Like, I was, like, 10 seconds tall
he
or whatever.
Absolutely pured as well, didn't he?
Legs look skinny, though, don't they?
Well, he nearly lost it, so.
Yeah, yeah.
What's he got? Has he got, like, metal poles and all that now, hasn't he, in his leg?
I don't know, you know, just...
He had
just
screws and...
Did he, yeah?
Yeah, he had to get it. He had to get his leg restructured.
It just shows you can... Do anything, can't you? Like if you put your mind to it, like
he is, it's unbelievable the recovery. Like considering it's not even been 12 months, has it?
When was it? January,
February,
February. Yeah, yeah. Do you know what I mean? If so he's back playing within a year. So what I'm like?
Well, do you ever remember when Ben Hogan? You want to remember that, obviously, because it was back in the '40s, like, but or fifties.
The first time we heard what Ben Hogan's crash was on the Ryder Cup segment, on the goat debate.
But again, that was another one. He had that crash, nearly died, and obviously told he'll never play again, and came back and won all sorts. So yeah, well, you know, I think
might help
those people with that type of mindset. You know, you never know what the benefits that does to his back, though. You know, the actual rest that he's getting because he can't physically move because. He's been open in the past about constantly being active and he can't sit still. And even when he's injured, he still goes out and he does a bit too much. And that's
because when he's done the Navy SEAL training and all that, so he's like, he's rested. So then it's helping his other problems.
That's potentially, there could be huge benefits to like his back problems and him getting like his knee problems that he's had, you know.
Yeah, no, that's a good, very good point there.
I know, I'm normally good at points.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You weren't on in Portugal. Nah, I'm blobbed about 20 holes.
I was more concerned about hitting six irons in the fairways because I could see four balls when I looked around.
That's funny,
that was half the battle. But yeah, that's got to be the birdie of the century. Never mind the birdie this week, hasn't it?
Oh, of course, yeah. It's like, that'll take a lot to beat that. The only birdie that's beating that is if...
He wins the Masters.
He comes on the pod.
When he comes on the pod.
Or he wins the Masters, yeah. Like, it's
hard to know unless you see more in it because one swing, isn't it? But... And like he was swinging really slow, weren't he?
Putting a round together, like doing four rounds, like all that. No, well, we're obviously
walking as well.
We're getting ahead of ourselves, aren't we? But
yeah, it's a start. It's
didn't that fella sue the PGA Tour? Remember I was talking about for like to using a buggy?
Yeah, you mentioned that in
so
the last pod.
Maybe you could use a buggy. John Daly used one once, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Imagine seeing Tiger flip round in a buggy winning the Masters, man. What is going on in life when you see that?
Unbelievable, wouldn't it?
Amazing.
What's your bogey then?
My bogey is, give me a second to get to it, is the match. No one's asked.
No.
12 holes.
It's going a bit too much, too far,
like,
isn't
it? The Tiger one was like hard to watch.
I think, you
there's
know,
no
like,
crowd, there's no atmosphere. There's like, they're mic'd up, yeah, which is one thing, but it's like...
We spoke about this at the Ryder Cup, and I know you can say put differences aside for the Ryder Cup, but they were like hugging each other, and people were cheering, and the fans were getting behind them, and it was like, yeah, we've put everything behind us, and now all of a sudden the match is upon us. Bryson's come out and said it's a disgrace the way he's put me down. He put me down on everything. I'll never forgive him and all that. And it's like, well, three, 4 weeks ago, mate, you were hugging him and high-fiving him when you were in the Ryder Cup together. So you can't just switch it on and off. You need to dislike somebody. Or you like
you're doing
them.
It for show, aren't you? Do you know what
exactly.
I mean?
They're just trying to sell it. And I'm not buying it no more, mate.
The main gripe in me bust though, I mean bogey, sorry, is he's on top of the win with Brooks's face on the bottom of this thing. Have you seen it? The video?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he hits this draw semi snap hook, you know what I mean? Lands just over the target. Then he on the same shot tracer, he hits a fade and it lands like goes complete opposite way and it lands on the target. Like if you watch these two shots, like from 500 yards or whatever it is, they're not going in on the same universe.
And they land
that's
next
all
to
like
each other.
For hype and that, and they land next to each other. I'm just like, come on,
bit too much.
Like just get a grip.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. You even see the full. It's not even like wind can take you because you see the full tracer. So I was like, faking adverse, the faking the thing. Like, I'm still gonna watch it. Like,
yeah, I'll be just tuning in. It's only 12 holes in it. It'll be interesting to see how they talk to you. That, and you never know, like. If
they have a straightener, that could be me baby.
Well, if there is genuine, I don't believe that there is genuine hatred there and fear there.
Not.
I think they get on with their own business. But if there is a...
It's just a personality clash, isn't it?
I think so, yeah.
You know what I mean? They don't hate each other. One's slow, one's fast, one like non-ass, one likes to think about everything. It's just a proper mix. But actually sitting down talking to someone, they're probably all right.
Yeah,
like me and Frank, innit?
I think so, yeah. Opposites attract.
Yeah, exactly.
But it'd be good
yeah.
if something blows up on there, though, and they do have a go, because... In matches and competitions, and it's for a lot of money, and it's for charity, so it can get quite heated, can't it?
1,000,000%, yeah.
So we'll definitely be tuning in to see what's going on.
Of course, yeah. What's your bogey?
So the PGA Tour, we'll come on to this in a minute, but obviously the PGA Tour have announced a lot of funding going into their tour. The DP World has now obviously taken over the European Tour, and we've got the Saudi invested potential tournaments added to the Asian Tour. There's 10 tournaments, isn't there?
Yeah.
The bogey that I've got is the PGA Tour have come out and said that they're not going to allow PGA Tour members and give them the exemption to play them Asian Tour events. So it's like,
what? So they don't give them exemption to what? So what's just go and play anyway?
As a PGA Tour member, you've got to ask permission to go and play on another tour.
Mm.
So what the PGA Tour have said is that they're not going to give permission for PGA Tour members to go and play on that event. So I get that it's competition.
Fair enough, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is, in a sense, it's competition. But if you take the PGA Tour is doing fine. Do you know what I mean? The PGA Tour have got total control over world ranking events. They've got all the biggest events that you can play in with the biggest purses.
Yeah.
And all that this other event is doing is providing like further growth and further development across Asia,
yeah,
do you know what I mean? And by not allowing the top players in the world to go over and play those events, it's sort of stopping the potential for how it can grow. So I think
that's what they want, though, isn't it? They don't want it to grow.
Yeah, but for the benefit of golf.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? I think not but just categorically saying, like, why can't they say you can play in two or you can play in three? But they're categorically saying, like, as a PGA Tour member, we're not giving you permission to go and play in them events. So then,
and what if they do?
Well, then obviously it becomes like a legal thing. I don't know whether they get kicked off the tour. I don't know the ramifications of it, but I just think it's a bit over the top to say that, like, as a player, you're
just
not
putting the foot down at the start to see how it goes. I reckon next year they'll take the foot off that.
To take the back, do you think
so?
Yeah. I think they'll have to, because ultimately, like, this is going to be great for the game, because, as I say, we'll come on to the intricacies of each one of them and what's happened in a minute once we've got the busts out the way. But I think for me, like, I've had a look at the schedules, and if you've got a schedule where the top players in the world are playing in different events around the world, then golf then becomes a world tour, a world event, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You've got things happening on the DP World Tour now. You've got where they're going over to Japan and different parts of Asia. You've got the PGA Tour, which is well-established, best tour in the world and has been for a while. That's going to continue to grow. They're throwing more money at it. And then you've got more tours over in Asia.
They're only throwing more money probably because of this.
Exactly, yeah. They have to.
So they're all pushing each other, aren't they?
But that's what I mean. But and that's good, because that's what competition needs. But they can only push each other. If all the PGA Tour are going to potentially do is piss a load of the top players off, who are then going to get a cob on with the PGA Tour,
and
the PGA Tour will potentially lose credibility. And if that happens, then we don't want the PGA Tour to go downhill. We want that to stay where it is, because that gives us the most entertainment. But
yeah,
they could be making a rod for their own back by saying to players, we're refusing to allow you to go over and play that tour. Mm. And then they go, well, I want to play that tour. And, you know, it just causes problems for golf. Becomes political rather than doing what's best for the game.
It's like, we were talking about that fifth major, weren't we, as well? Like, if that Saudi tour actually took off, like, you could have that one in Saudi as a major.
Yeah. Well,
in years to come, couldn't he?
The Saudi in International. Is it the Saudi International, the Saudi Invitational, what's it called?
Whichever.
Yeah, so the one that DJ won at the beginning of the year. Well, That's no longer a European Tour event now. That is the flagship event of the Asian Tour.
That's what I'm saying. So if you've got a major in England, a major or in UK, a major in or three in America, and then have another one, like we were saying, like maybe Australia, maybe Asia, maybe South Africa, like that's, if that tour's heading the way it wants to go, it's going to need something big, isn't it?
Yeah, and the talent's definitely there. You look at the players, the Australian players over the years who've become the world's best players, you know what I mean? Greg Norman.
Yeah. Jason Day.
Adam Scott, do you know what I mean? The list goes on. And you've got South African players again, you know what I mean? They've got Ernie Els, Gary Player, do you know what I mean? The list goes on. You've got all these players from around the world who are good enough, but like, and you've got unbelievable golf courses on that side of the world as well. So
of course, yeah.
You just need to expose it more to the tournaments. And there's enough weeks in the year for the to have a big, massive global tour. And
like the women have got five majors, haven't they? Do you know what I mean? So yeah. Like, equal rights and all that. Get us one.
We want five. We want five.
Yeah.
What's your bust?
My bust is world number one. It's a Rolex event. DP World, end of season finisher. And he chooses to go and have a game with Tony Finau somewhere.
Yeah. I think it was something to do when he come out, wasn't it? You talk about John Rahm not playing in the DP.
Yeah, yeah.
It was something to do with family commitment or something, or I don't know whether it's because he's a new dad or didn't want to travel over.
About that, whatever, he's got excuses.
Yeah.
Like, that's where he should be.
He should be playing them events, you know what I mean? Yeah. And I think that's probably one of the, like, going back to my bogey there as well, like, one of the reasons why you need to allow the top players in the world to play these different events, because if they've only got a small amount of events to choose from, they will neglect to play in certain events, yeah. Do you know what I mean? And then they'll lose that opportunity. So
we can't have had that many family commitments. He was playing with Tony Finau, can he? Do you know what I mean?
I can't remember what the what he did come out with a statement to say, like, it's with regret, blah blah blah. I can't remember what it said, but I'll fact check it and try and find it. But
can he test a positive for COVID again, can he?
What? No.
Can't have had another COVID episode.
No, definitely not. He's
well enough for that, isn't he?
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
But yeah, just not more like, oh, if there's family trouble, if there's whatever's going on in your personal life and you can't make it, fair enough. But
no,
it's just horrible,
saying,
not
though,
to
yeah.
see the world number one, like, in the end of the race to Dubai. Like,
yeah,
you know what
and
I mean?
When you consider, like, what the PGA Tour and the European, well, the DP World Tour now are doing together, and that the merge that they've
Alliance,
got. Alliance, yeah. You'd expect, like,
he's the best player in the world. The DP thing is about to become the European Tour. It's in Dubai. It's a Rolex event. It's massive.
Yeah.
Like, you've got everyone else there.
Yeah. I think the way that they structured the points, and this will come onto my bus now, is only the top six players ranked could win the DP, could become the DP World Champion.
The race to Dubai champion.
So, and that comes onto my bus now. Like,
was he not one of them?
He wasn't one of them, though. He wasn't in the top six.
I see.
So that was maybe one of the reasons why he didn't commit, because it would just like be going for a tournament. He wouldn't have the chance to win the race to Dubai.
And yeah, but was, like, now is the lead at world number one's getting smaller because of that?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
He has a chance to compete. Or maybe it might just be he's not playing well.
Yeah, maybe.
You know what I mean? Valderrama and at the other tournaments, he was playing
around,
over in Spain.
Yeah.
He was playing terrible, weren't he? So
I suppose, yeah.
Maybe he's just had a dip of form. I don't know. And he's working on something in his game. You don't know. But I do agree, like, it. If there's no issues there and there's no reason why he should be making the effort to go.
Oh, yeah.
He's a European player for one, so he should support the tour.
Of course.
And
he's Europe's number one, he's the world number one.
Exactly,
yeah. Do you know what I mean? So, I don't know.
But then going on to my bus there then, so all this talk about the DP World and change and everything, there's been nothing about the restructuring of the race to the Dubai pointing system.
What, the way it should match up with, like, the FedEx?
Well, not even if it matches up with the FedEx, it's like if you win a major, we talked about the last couple of episodes, if you win a major or you win a WGC, you're pretty much guaranteed to be in the top three.
Yeah.
For the race to Dubai rankings, doesn't matter what you've done. So I'm thinking there's an
opportunity. Obviously, John Rahm went, was he? And he won the US Open, like. But I know what you're saying, yeah. Like,
proven, yeah. But, you know, like, Billy Horschel won a WGC and a BMW. And Morikawa won the Open and a WGC, and, you know, they were 1 and 2. You know what I mean? Both hardly played in Europe. And I'm not saying, like,
you can't, like, the majors carry too much weight, don't they? Whereas in the FedEx, they don't carry enough.
Exactly, yeah.
Like we were talking last week, let's unify.
I think they just needed to. This is an opportunity because they've got some crossover events where European tour players get into the likes of your Barracuda, and then, like, there's a crossover for the PGA Tour players get in certain events on the European or the DP World Tour now as well. So
yeah.
I think that was a perfect.
Because there's more Rolex events now, isn't there?
Yeah. So that was just a perfect opportunity for them to say, right, this is the new structure. And hopefully they do come out and say that. But, you know, the European the new DP World Tour starts tomorrow. So it's a bit late to do it now. But I think it was a perfect opportunity to restructure the pointing system to make it like a proper race to Dubai. Do you know what I mean? It's not a race to Dubai. It's just you win a couple of events and you get to Dubai.
I see, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not, you're not, whereas all season round on the FedEx, you're getting either 500 or 600 points, depending on what. Do you know what I mean? If you win a major, it's 600 points. If you win a normal event, it's 500.
Win the Barbasol, you get 350, I think. Or 300 or something.
But basically, that's like if you're a PGA Tour winner and you win two or three times in the PGA Tour, like we have Jason Cochrane did, do you know what I mean? Then you're going to be in the top 10 in the FedEx and you've deserved it because you're a multiple winner on the PGA Tour.
Yeah.
If you're a multiple winner, like a Gareth Higo on the European Tour, you know what I mean? Albeit he's won on the PGA Tour as well. He wasn't even in the top 20.
No.
So it's a race to Dubai, which is a...
It's like we were talking about that, having a Champions League, innit? Of the major winners, like going to like, or the major results going to a different league again.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? To have like your own little major league sort of thing.
Yeah.
I think what the problem is, when you look at the history of the race to Dubai, and it's like X amount of money won this, and then the next year is like X amount of points. So I think they did restructure it. So I think restructuring again, it looks like they got it wrong and they don't like to admit mistakes to these people.
Admitting the mistakes is the problem, yeah. But no, I think, you know, it's just the main thing is that every time that you're going out to play on the DP World Tour now, regardless of where it is, that when you're entering that point, it's going towards an end goal, an end structure. You're not just playing to win a tournament. Like for some players, it might just be going out and trying to win the tour. The lower ranked European Tour players, they're just going out to keep the card or whatever.
Yeah.
But if you're like a Minwoo Lee, who done very well this season, I think he finished sixth in the end, or a Richard Bland, you've had so many top tens, you've played well on the tour all season. You go into it, Minwoo Lee had a chance, but Richard Bland, I think he was eighth or ninth going into it, and he couldn't win the race to Dubai when he went into that tournament. Even if he'd have won the DP World Tour Championships, he couldn't have won the race to Dubai. And then you look back at his season, what he's had on the European Tour, and you're saying he's not the winner.
And I've only had one win, didn't he?
Yeah, but he was up there. I don't know what his top tens were like, but he was up there competing every week.
He was up there like after round one and stuff. He was up there every now and again. I think you're getting Team carried Richard away Grant. There. Like,
but he's just one example.
No, of course. Yeah. He goes a good one.
He goes another example. You know, it's just, and there's just.
I know what you mean, though. Yeah.
I don't know what the answer is, but I just think there needs to be something to restructure the race to the by pointing system so that like every tournament you play on this DP World Tour is important in the race to Dubai. Whereas I don't feel as though every tournament is important to the race to buy. Yet you get points towards it to stay. It's more.
Well, it's the money though, isn't it? Because they're playing for like, you're playing for what? £1 million in some of these events. When like that can't carry the same weight as winning the, like a WGC or like a DP World where you, or a Rolex event where you're getting like.
Yeah, but my point is.
A few million.
Yeah, but my point is. It should. It can though, because take the money out of it. It's a European Tour event, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So if you're saying this European Tour event is, or this DP World Tour event is a lesser event and just throw it to the side, then no wonder people aren't backing it and getting involved. And
well, that's what it is, though.
What?
That's what it is.
That's only because it's perceived to be.
Yeah, but then you go to a place like Austria where there's no fans and all that, like, and people, there's like, it's not many people around, or like Iceland or somewhere, and like, it's just not as big as an occasion as going to like Phoenix in the desert and. There's all people cheating and throwing beer cans at you and all that. Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? Like, fans bring the money.
Yeah, I know, but there's golf fans all around the world, isn't there?
I know, but you, like, have a look at outside some of the places, like, it's dead, isn't it?
Yeah, that's only because COVID, though. You look at the past 12 months.
I mean, even looking back as well.
Well, yeah, this season on the European Tour, they're playing La Nationale on one of them, the French Open, I think it is. Yeah, Open to France on the 22nd to the 25th of September, they're playing La Nationale in Paris. Now, as we know, La Nationale, when it hosted the Ryder Cup, it was bouncing, wasn't it?
Well, they've played it since, haven't they? Doing Tommy, wasn't it? Was that before?
I can't remember. I don't know. But basically, the point I'm getting at is, if you want to talk about a DP World Tour event and it meaning something, it's in the capital of France, which is a big country. Do you know what I mean? And you've got the potential to get thousands of fans there. It'd be interesting to see how it goes, you know what I mean?
So you're going to wait till September to prove your point.
It's looking that way, innit? I'm just looking at the
Hold my breath for that one then.
I'm just looking at the European tour events there.
We're talking about like
what got the magical Kenya Open in March.
Oh yeah, that'll be stacked, I reckon. Look, talking about a few things, I've got to like just a few little rack my brain about looking back at like boss moments from this season.
Yeah.
From the European tour.
Yeah, yeah.
All that come to mind was Higo winning both sides of the pond.
Unbelievable, yeah.
Herbert
and
winning
back to back.
Yeah. And they're back to back and then going winning the PGA tour.
Yeah.
Which was sick. Herbert winning both sides of the pond.
Yeah. Which unbelievable. Sick.
Richard Bland winning at like 48.
Yeah.
Which was belter. Armitage getting a world record, which was boss running.
The car.
Money.
Yeah. Sick.
Rory getting back in the winner's circle, which is always good to see.
Yeah, I stayed after this. He joined up with Peter Cowan, wasn't it? Yeah.
Now he's left him, hasn't he?
Has he?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I think so. I read that when I was in Portugal.
Fact check,
first one.
I don't know whether he has.
I think he has. Yeah.
Oh, has he? Yeah. I didn't hear that.
Fact check, like, just in case, but yeah. I think he has.
Okay.
A weird one. Just struck me there, remember, Hattis English.
Do you remember him?
Just in general, like, do you remember he said he was talking about job security?
Yeah.
And the next meeting he's in the Ryder Cup.
Yeah.
It's like, what? Yeah. Take that speech back.
Well, he got into the Century Tournament of the Champions because he won the doubles event, didn't he?
Yeah.
In December. So before that, he was struggling to keep his card. He won that event, won the Century, and then won again a couple of months later, and then just went on this mad run, ends up in the Ryder Cup. So it just shows you, like, the turnaround from... If you looked at Harris English's career this time last year, he was probably worried.
Yeah.
Thinking, could lose my card, could lose that.
All of a sudden, he's in the duel with
just outside the top 10 in the world. Do you know what I mean? Did he get in the top 10 in the world? I'm not sure whether
he got into the 10.
But
no,
but he's around that. Do you know what I mean? He's around the top 10 players in the world. So it's just amazing what, like, a one tournament or two tournaments can do to completely change your whole career.
Like, remember him and Bryson going like blow to blow, and then they started throwing sixes and eights out there, didn't he?
Yeah, the last bit of slow play, one, a bit of controversy. Yeah. That was the WGC one, if that answer one.
10th of November, Rory McIlroy splits with Pete Cowan, returns to longtime swing coach. Just saying.
10th of November.
Just saying.
Must have been packing my suitcase. We went on the 11th.
Yeah, I know. That's what I said. I did read it in Portugal. That's why I thought it was a dream. But anything else to add to the, like, looking back there over the year? I just mentioned that was the top of my brain.
Yeah, yeah. No, you mentioned there about Armitage breaking the world record, but I had that emotional first European tour.
Oh, yeah,
well.
Exactly. Yeah. Brilliant.
You know what I mean? Like, the emotional scenes on that was fantastic to see. There's loads going on, hasn't there? There's Coupland making it to a US Open and having his dad on the bag. Do you know what I mean? It's a nice little story, Dave Coupland. There's, off the top of my head, there's loads.
But... John Rahm winning the US Open was pretty sick as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, we had
Mickelson winning, being the oldest.
Patrick Cantley's putting.
Oh my God, yeah.
On the BMW.
That was
it?
Sick, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Well, Cantley coming on that run, we weren't even talking about him, then he ended up winning the whole FedEx,
That's
didn't
what
he?
I mean, yeah, won back to back, yeah, won the Tour Champs as well.
Mickelson being the oldest major winner.
Wow. Yeah, them
it's
scenes
been
coming
some
down
season,
with,
hasn't it?
Those scenes coming down with Brooks Koepka.
Amazing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like, there's just been, like, everything keep popping into my mind every now and again, but, like, it's been, like, you can see golf, like, it's had a boom, the biggest boom in the last 40 years, hasn't it? And
yes.
It just, like, the Bryson, players at the
Bryson
top.
Bryson DeChambeau trying to drive par fives.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Hitting one 418 yards down the...
But not just doing that, executing it. It obviously didn't hit the green, but he hit that right over the corner, didn't he?
Yeah.
And but then going on to win the tournament, so he's not just that was sort of where, like, he laid his foundations to say,
well, he made par in that hole, didn't he?
He did make par in that hole, yeah. That's what I have, yeah, fair play. But he's not only executed the shot that he said he was going to do and play the game the way he said he was going to play it, he went out and won the whole tournament,
which is boss.
Do you know what I mean? And then obviously Westwood doing the same and a little pat down the middle and doing the same little cheer.
Yeah, but like Bryson's been boss this year for golf, hasn't he?
Fantastic.
Even though he's been a bit whiny and a bit babyish at times, but he's needed, isn't he?
He's very controversial.
Like, without him, we'd be...
Even looking at the Ryder Cup, as much as we didn't like it because it was against us in the singles match, hitting driver to about 10 foot and rolling it in on the first hole.
I know. Even like that one that went 418, but then he did execute the up and down.
Yeah.
Like a little up and down eagle from like 50 yards or something to like a driver 3 wood old, you know what I mean?
It's been unbelievable, hasn't it? And then was the waste management. Brooks kept getting that
win.
That
little chip in on 17.
Chip in on eagle as well.
Sick,
the return of Jordan Spieth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Jordan Spieth was so close, and then gets to Texas. Was it Texas or Montana? The Valero, was it?
And we held that shot.
Yeah.
Sick, that.
Yeah, it's just been an
unbelievable. Like, there's just been so much that's gone on, hasn't it? Do you know what I mean?
Matsuyama winning the Masters. Oh. You know.
We had two Masters, didn't we?
Yeah. DJ. And DJ, a big shock for me, was DJ going off form, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You're thinking to yourself, like, we were talking at the beginning of the season, like, DJ's...
How's he ever going to lose?
Ever. And then all of a sudden, he's not nowhere to be seen for the whole season, is he?
Oh, my word.
But I think he's one to watch next season. I know it's a cliche because he's one of the best players in the world, but I think he'll want to get back to the...
The million percent, like...
Back to his best.
But it's... Yeah, as you say, DJ, like... Obviously, Brooks has been off the boil a touch as well, and he keeps getting injured and...
I don't think Brooks helped himself, you know, if I'm honest. I think... When Brooks Koepka come out and said, I can't get up for normal events.
That was stupid.
I think he sort of made the rod for his own back there because he's making out as if like he doesn't care about the other events. And now he's come out and said, I need to be practicing more and I'm taking it more seriously. Also, can't remember the words that he said, but he's completely changed his tune.
If I get one major a year, I'll catch Tigers. Like, yeah, I've had one major a year for the last
bit of a cocky attitude. And he said, he said something like, I've been playing poor for a long period of time now, and it's getting to him. So we need to put a bit of grind. Getting himself involved in this match, and you know, once this is out the way. He
could get humiliated, off. Couldn't he?
Well, Strickson.
You know what I mean? And him going to Strickson, that's a mad one, isn't it?
He's got a Strickson bat now, and he's Strickson in Cleveland. He's done a deal. He's never had a sponsor before, has he? Like a club that's sponsor mad. For a while. And now he's gone with Cleveland Strickson.
That is a weird one, though. Mm-hmm. But we're forgetting as well, the main man, Morikawa. Like,
wow.
The
man's just
looking
like,
back, like he's won the Open, he's won the WGC, he's won the DP World, he won the race to Dubai.
You know, we had a laugh about that because when we mentioned like when he won the WGC, I remember we started trying to compare him to Tiger.
Yeah,
not to say like he's as good as Tiger was, and because he hasn't had the Tiger impact, but like just to say like the quality's there, the iron plays there, the way he misses. And then was it Greg message saying, "Don't you dare, like compare him." But I've done some like comparison stats on the way he's played, and like,
of course you have.
If you look at him, I've seen this online, first 60 events as a professional, right?
Yeah.
Morikawa's won 6 times in his first 60 events. Tiger's had won 9. Colin Morikawa, 24 top 10s, and Tiger, 36. So Tiger's obviously done him on both of them. But then when you look at majors and WGCs in his first 60 events, Morikawa's now won 2 majors, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Tiger's only won 1. Morikawa, 1 WGC, and to Tiger's none.
Just in Tiger's defence a little bit, after that Masters in 97, he totally remodeled the swing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the stats don't lie.
Yeah.
But that's what he did do, didn't he? And he didn't come back, didn't really get back. That whole 98 was gone.
Yeah, I suppose. And then 2000 was the season that we really seen.
Well, he remodeled it all, didn't he? 99, come back, won the PGA.
And then 2000, the season where he just demolished everyone, didn't he? Went off his head, yeah. Yeah, so it'd be interesting to see, like, Morikawa missed 5 cuts in his first 60 events. Tiger only missed 1. But then if you look at the scoring average, 69.4 for Morikawa, 68.5 for Tiger. So you've got to look at the age is similar. I think the play is similar as well. Like, they're both pure strikers of irons, aren't they?
Yeah, Tiger's a little bit more explosive, isn't he? Morikawa's more of a papper, isn't he?
Yeah, I would say so. When it comes to the power, Tiger's
it's
a lot
more the mind. You mean Morikawa?
He's just so
like
clutch
he just
down
seems
stretch,
just so chill, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's like, so clutch down the set. You look at the DP World Tour that he's just won, the final event on the European Tour there. Like, to finish, what was it, 400 in his last 5 holes?
5 in his last 6.
5 in his last 6.
Or 5 in his last 7, I think it was.
So, you know, to do that under the pressure of knowing that, like,
he was leaving birdies out there as well.
Yeah.
Like, easy birdies. The field was losing, like, he was losing ground by not making these birdies. And, like, do you know what I mean? Like, part of the first 10 or something.
It's like, it does sort of remind you of the Tiger, like, on a Tiger Sunday, when Tiger knew to step on the gas.
Everyone
would
crumbled.
Step on the gas and everyone would crumble. And it seemed like, obviously, Rory got very unlucky in the flag, didn't he?
Oh, my God.
You know what I mean? You can't compensate for that. That's probably a tapping birdie instead of to bogey. But
how does that even happen?
I know. But I think he's let himself down, though, because you could even see on his face that he let that get to him.
Oh, yeah.
And I know it's a bit of bad luck, but And obviously he hasn't got up and down, but he's obviously fattered that bunker shot, hasn't he? Well, not fattered it, but he expected to get a bigger kick out the fringe, didn't he? And that didn't come off for him. But then he just seemed to let that get him, went on bogeyed the next hole. And I just think like it was a catalyst of errors.
Oh, yeah, it was. He three-putted the next one, didn't he?
The three putt of the next one, yeah. And I think
he only had 130 yards in, and he had like a 60, 70 foot putt.
Yeah.
So, although, like, it was.
But it just makes you think, like, where's his.
You could see Rory's emotions, and then you couldn't see Morikawa's, but yeah. Morikawa was doing the better things than yeah. Rory was doing.
He wore his heart on his sleeve, didn't yeah. he? You know what I mean? And then, like, nearly ripped his top off of his shoulders.
What did he actually do there?
I don't think you see it. You just see a picture of him, don't you? Like, I've not no, seen
it. I've read a few things saying that he ripped it. Himself just
grabbed his yeah in anger,
but like his last shot was from the bund, wasn't it? Just see it over the houses, so I just thought he might have caught it on something. But it's a pretty heavy catch yeah. in it, so yeah, maybe he did. But
I seen one of the funny
even worse for him. Do you know what I mean by doing that?
I seen one of the funny memes saying, I don't know if you've seen it, like it's like as if Rory's texting Tiger,
yeah,
and he's like, do us a favor, will you release that video?
Take the heat off me,
so I've got to go. Nike's calling.
It's great, isn't it?
But yeah, it's like it. I think he just if it's easy, it's easier said. But it's interesting that when he had an interview after day one, I think it was after the first round, he was leading, wasn't he? Played unbelievable golf, and then he come out and said, "I'm a big boy now." Do you know what I mean? I can handle these type of things and just let.
That's
him
what
go.
He's talking about. No, he's talking about the swing coach as well. There, when he's saying, "Like, if I should be bigger, I'm out here long enough, I should know how to fix things myself."
Well, exactly, yeah, but yeah. That goes for all aspects of his game if he's a big boy. So it seems as though he's had that bad luck. It's hit the flag, it's rolled back into the bunker, and he's gone on to make bogey, and it just seemed that's cost him the tournament when, all right, he mightn't have gone on to win the tournament, but if he regroups, the 18th is reachable in two. Do you yeah. mean he could have eagled the last? There was plenty out there. He was 120 yards, was he, on 16?
Yeah, that's 130,
another,
yeah.
Potential another birdie. All he goes and makes a bogey. So, yeah, I think Morikawa was probably always going to win that when you're seeing how much in control he was.
Yeah, no.
Like, his game.
But like, as Doherty was saying, like Morikawa weren't even in the question when Fitzpatrick was flying. Like they were like Fitzpatrick wasn't in the question. Sorry, Fitzpatrick come, like Morikawa dropped. Next minute, someone matched Fitzpatrick winning it all.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then next minute, like Morikawa, Rory goes again, and then like Morikawa comes. It was just
back and forth. Good entertaining and watch, wasn't it?
Mad first American ever to win it as well.
Yeah.
Like I've said before on the pod a few times, Tiger has won it, but money-wise, but he's never actually played enough events to qualify.
To qualify to win it, yeah.
But you see, Morikawa got given that lifetime membership for the European Tour, yeah. for the DP World Tour, whatever it's called now.
Yeah.
And everyone's like moaning, saying like he shouldn't have it. And then Thomas Bjorn came out and said, well, he's won a WGC, he's won the Open, and he's won the Race to Dubai in 1 year. Like, that's a lifetime achievement for most people. Exactly. And just silenced everyone.
He is right, though. I know. Oh,
of course, he is.
Yeah. I understood the gripes last year when, like, he's going to win the.
And he hadn't set foot.
He hadn't set foot. Yeah. But if you go and win the Open, which is the flagship event in England, in the UK, and anywhere in Europe, do you know what I mean? That's like the main one to win if you're European, isn't it? Every European that we've had on it says it. Even the lads that we have who are trying to make it to the top level, they've always said, like, what do you want to do? I want to play in the Open. I've dreamed of playing in the Open. It's what,
no, of course,
it's what you want to do. So to go and win that, and then go in Europe, and then win the main event on the European Tour, and then obviously win the Race to Dubai. You can't really argue.
And then extra the cup captain coming out and just silencing everyone, but and it's right.
It is right. Yeah, I totally agree with it. Yeah. What's interesting? I had a look at his career earnings so far. Morikawa as well. Just under 23.5 million he's earned already.
In three and a half years.
It works out at just under 400,000 an event. And do you know how much per shot?
I think I've seen it something like 1,400 or something.
Just under 1,500 a shot. God. Per shot. Every time he hits a shot, $1,500. Lovely.
Just thinking then I'd be hitting more shots, but then obviously you get less from you.
F and your nah, shots are probably sick. Worth about 3p.
Well less.
But no, it was a good end to the season, wasn't it?
And it as was, say, yeah. And we haven't had the proper in-depth look at the new DP World Tour, really, have we? Like, there's a few like big changes happening, isn't there?
Well, there is. Yeah, what they've said is there's going to be 47 tournaments now in 27 different countries. It's going to include new tournaments in the UAE, Japan, South Africa, and Belgium. and expanded the Rolex series to comprise of five events,
yeah,
which is going to be the Abu Dhabi HSB Championship, the Dubai Desert Classic, the Genesis Scottish Open. As we know, Genesis are now sponsoring the Scottish Open. We spoke about that. The BMW Championship, and then obviously the season-ending DP World Tour. They're all Rolex events now.
Boss, isn't it? Like, but they're going to be what, like 9-10 million prizes now? And like the minimum prize fund for every tournament is going to be two million.
Yeah.
So it, even that itself attracts.
Well, if you look at the position, the way they positioned it as well, in April, the 7th to the 10th of April is the Masters. And then you've got, although they haven't confirmed what the event is, they've got the Asian event confirmed for the week after the Masters. And then you've got the Japan event confirmed under these new DP World Tour events. It says details are going to be released around now. So we should be getting details of the of those. And then you've got the Volvo China Open. So once you've played in the Masters,
you go over and do a little Asian swing.
Yeah. So you've got the WGC World Match Play. And then you've got a week's break. And then you've got the Masters. And then you've got those three events over in Asia, Japan and China.
So
again, when I spoke about, obviously, it being more pronounced for the world. And
pronounced? That's a season highlight, actually. Yeah, pronoun.
Why do I keep saying that word?
There's something wrong with you.
There's something wrong with me. But yeah, and then if you look at what's after the 150th Open, the Barracuda Championship,
yeah,
on the European Tour, and then before that, you've got the Barbasol. So,
yeah, they're still in America, though, aren't they?
Well, yeah. So you've got. No, we talked about the European Tour players the getting co-sanctioning. The opportunity to go on co-sanctioning. Yeah. So. While the Genesis Scottish Open's on, as we know, that's a Rolex Series event. So the lower ranked European Tour players are not going to be able to play in that. They'll be able to go over. I think there's 20 spots. They'll be able to go and play the same week in the Barbasol Championship. And you know,
lucky them.
Well, Van Ruin done it, didn't he? Do you know what I mean? He won the Barracuda. And then while the Open's on, anybody who doesn't qualify for the Open, you've got an opportunity to go and play the Barracuda. So there's an opportunity there for...
It's good doing it, because then if you win that, you get a PGA Tour card.
Yeah.
Sick, that.
That's what I mean, yeah.
That's boss.
Opens all sorts
of... All sorts of doors, yeah.
And if you finish top 10 in those events, then there's an opportunity to get an invite into other events, like Robert McIntyre done. He played well in a couple of events, and he ended up getting invites for the majority of the events in the PGA Tour to finish the season.
Mad, isn't it? It's good, though, isn't it? Like, it possible is, little yeah. opportunity, isn't it?
That's what I mean. And obviously, so the restructuring, and it was all brought about, you would think,
By the Saudi
thing.
And the other one, the Premier League thing.
Yeah, the potential popping Premier up, League yeah. propping it. But just looking at the numbers for the new DP World Tour, it's got its biggest ever prize pool fund of 140 million. There's a record prize fund of 10 million for the DP World in 2022. And again, they've just putting on more events. But in addition to that, there's a significant investment in the Challenge Tour as well.
That's good.
So they've increased prize funds and playing opportunities for people in the lower tours to play more Challenge Tour events as well. So again, although it's given the players opportunities on the European Tour to play over in America, it's also given the players in the Tier 3 the opportunity to play Tier 2 on the Challenge Tour, and then obviously play well, potentially stay on the Challenge Tour, and that's your way up to the European Tour.
So I was with Paul Kinnear and David Shacklady, informed me before we went away.
Yeah.
And Shackers was talking about the Seniors Tour getting the hotel to subsidise all the rooms, saying that the lads are going to spend money on food and beverages on site. So then everyone's there, do you know what I mean? And they're all together, and like the course is just there, and everyone's there, do you know what I mean? And like that's the tour that does that. The Legends Tour does that. So he's saying like the Euro Pro Tour should be doing things like that to a close hotel and getting everyone together and making it more like you don't need an hour's car journey from a travel lodge or sleeping in your car. Like you need subsidized hotel fees to make the best and the best opportunity for these younger players coming through.
Yeah, because that travel is going to have an impact on your ability to play.
So he was saying a shot a day at least.
Is that what he thinks?
That's what Shacklady reckons, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's coming from the horse's mouth there, isn't it? Yeah. He's like, you know, he's been there, done that, hasn't he?
Yeah. He was saying like that to that about that Peter Scott, just to get yourself there, get yourself on side. Third reserve always gets in, like the last 3 weeks before. Yeah, that Scotty hasn't done it, and he would have got in every time.
He would have got in and played. Well, you're right. There needs to be more funding and more help on them lower
tours. On the lower ones, yeah.
But they've...
See the way you go on the European Tour, Yeah. And you click European Tour, and it's the challenge. And then there's the Legends Tour, isn't there?
Yeah.
Well, there really needs to be another column there for EuroPro. That needs to be part. The EuroPro needs to be part, or something, a lower tour needs to be part of the European Tour.
But there's four.
Even though it does.
There's four feeder tours, though, isn't there? Do you know what I mean? You've got the Alps Tour as well.
Yeah, but like, come on.
But they're all feeder tours to the challenge, aren't they? So if you've got four feeder tours.
We'll put them all on then.
That's what I mean. You need to put
them
all on.
Get them all on, yeah.
You've got four feeder tours, and the top five spots all get elevated up to the challenge tour. So you get 20 spots for the challenge tour throughout them four feeder tours. That's why it's so tough to get off that tour, but it's not a cheap tour to play on either.
Well, why don't they unify it then? Like the challenge, and have a few events in England, a few events in there, and make one big lower tier tour, unify all the five tours together.
And put 20 players up.
Or no, put more up.
Yeah.
So we do whatever you want.
There's potential, yeah. There's
I just want to see, I want the EuroPro or whatever to be part of the European Tour, because no one, for all that.
It is a pathway.
It's nothing.
Yeah.
Really?
It is a
pathway, but then now that the Clutch Tour comes from nowhere, all of a sudden offering like sponsors invites that they should be given to other players to put up as prizes, and then they can get straight onto the Challenge Tour from one event.
Yeah.
So it's like, is it a path? Like, well, then the EuroPro, like Shaqley said, you finished 15th on the EuroPro. I know what that means. It means you're broke.
Yeah.
Like, people are out there trying to make a living, and there's no money to be made.
Yeah, it isn't. And I think that's subsidising hotels and subsidising some sort of travel, like giving them travel cards or something.
Just helps, doesn't it? Just help
with the tour. But then it just depends. This is what I mean. It's good that they're throwing so much money at the top level, and the increase in prize funds to 2 million as a minimum on these events. That would normally be 1 million, because that's what you do need, because of the travel. But you also need to fund the lower tours, because you've potentially got some of the best players that could potentially make it, who just get fed up.
Yeah.
Do a couple of years. Definitely.
Like that Chappie, you know, I was just being with, he was unbelievable. And like, he's just sent me a video from a paper mill where he's working.
Yeah.
And like, he hasn't got the money to be doing it.
And you hear that story a lot. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, no, of course, I was working through the winter to fund your tournament through the summer. But I think you're right. There needs to be more support and help. You know,
like, maybe not the travel, maybe not, but just as the, like even Shaq was saying, like as a hotel, if you had more lads in that are all on the same buzz, they're going to spend more on the bar, they're going to spend more on the food, and they're going to fill your hotel more than a few Ponzi guests who are coming to have a dinner and go to bed.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It works both ways then.
Yeah.
And then the cheaper you get your hotel for, the more money you're likely to spend anyway, because you've got more money to spend, haven't you?
Maybe that's the next area of focus they need to do then. Obviously, they've pumped all this money into the European Tour. They've done the alliance with the PGA Tour, the support and the Challenge Tour more. I think now they need to look at the bottom tours.
I just don't think it's actually part of it. Although it feeds to the Challenge, it's not like it's an alliance. It's like it's not really on the website and that. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't feel like it's part of it. Like I was talking about that extra tab.
Yeah.
Do you get me?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I know what you mean. Yeah. It's not
but like the... you've got like 200 basically, well, I say 100 multimillionaires playing for multimillions on the PGA Tour.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Where you've got people who are scraping pennies together having to pay more for their hotels than the richest brand on the tour.
The argument's always been with that when we've had players on the podcast is that it is a development tour. So you know you're not playing on that tour for profit. You're playing to develop your game to get up to the next level. Whereas
roll the dice, sink or swim.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it is brutal in the sense that there's only five spots and there's so many talented players. You've got lads shooting 59 that weekend, doesn't even finish in the top 10 in the rankings. Like, what is that about? Wins an event. So, you know, it is ruthless in that sense, but ultimately, like, if you play well all season and you're a good enough player to get out there, you will get out there.
Of course, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And that's ultimately the way it is. If you're a top talented player and you've played well all season, you will finish in the top five. You go on the Challenge Tour, and if you're good enough, then you'll finish top 15, top 20 on the Challenge Tour, and you get a European Tour card.
It's like you leave it down to fate, and fate will drag you there. But like at the same time, you could do a little booster in the hotel and like a bit of subsidising. Do you know what I mean?
yeah. Every little.
I'll let fate do it, but like let me have my tea as well. Do you know what I mean?
Need me energy to play.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then obviously when we're talking money there as well, more money pumped into the PGA Tour as well.
That's what I'm saying.
We've got 105 mil. They've just announced $105 million has been pumped into the the PGA Tour. They're just
extending
for this season.
The 15 million prize, which is a joke anyway, to like, but no, they extend it to 75 million now, aren't they?
For which?
The FedEx.
Yeah. So basically, what they've done is player invitationals, such as like the Bay Hill and the Genesis. Not the Genesis. Is it the Genesis? Yeah.
Yeah.
The Genesis, yeah. That's moved up from 9.3 million to 12 million funds. You got the Players' Championship has bumped up 5 million from 15 to 20.
It's now the most lucrative purse, isn't it?
Yeah, for one event.
Sick, that so
means. Imagine being a caddy winning that one. We spoke about that when JT won it, and his caddy got like 1.5 mil. FedEx playoffs, like you mentioned there, that's gone from 10.5 mil to 15 mil. So that's had a 4.5 mil bump up as well for the FedEx events. And WGC events, they've gone up from 10.5 mil to 12 mil. And the player initiation program, otherwise known as the Tiger Fund, that's bumped up 10
Tiger's
million.
Tiger's beer money.
10 million from 40 to 50, that one. So the pumping, and then there's other other incentives, top 10. Don't really understand what they are, but there's some new top 10s and top 15 different things that you can, and they've got quite a hefty amount of money in as well.
Smart, isn't it?
You've got
like that Comcast Business Tour top 10 as well. Doubled from 10 to 20 million.
I don't know what that is, but that's another thing I've seen that there's more money bumped into that. So the good thing about all of this is that golf is on an unbelievable boom at the moment. So much money's being pumped into it. There's also been further investments on the LPGA Tour as well. Prize funds have increased on that. So golf is now getting the exposure to continue to grow it. And we just need to continue to see this trend, don't we?
Of course, yeah. Like the winner of the FedEx this year is getting 18 million.
Wow.
Do you know what I mean?
It's heavy, isn't it?
I'm asking for a meal ticket. Like Marcus Rashford. Like, do you know what the average person the PGA Tour is going to be this season?
I think it's increased by a full mil, isn't it?
Yeah, it was going to be 9.1 million per event.
Per average. Event, yeah. Average.
Sick, that.
It's brilliant, though, isn't it?
Can't wait to get practicing.
I would normally, like, if the PGA Tour was the only tour to do that, I'd have a real problem with it. I'd be like, why are they pumping all the money in the PGA Tour and just keeping that? But now that you're seeing money being invested in the world tours, so more money's being thrown at the DP Tour now, more money's being thrown over in Asia with what Greg Norman's doing, and he's heading up that. More money's going on the LPGA Tour. It's like more money and incentives going on the Challenge Tour. I'm not sure whether anything's fed down to the Korn Ferry Tour, but ultimately, like, all these tours now are giving people more money, more opportunities, and it's just... like,
who's paying it?
Well, it's just going to be investments, isn't it? Yeah. Investment funding. Obviously, consortiums or just people who...
sponsors.
Come in. Yeah, just people who come in and just, you know, everybody's seeing golf for what it is now. It's like...
more exposure, more eyes, more advertising.
It's just... It's competing as one of the biggest sports in the world now, golf.
Yeah, definitely.
You know what I mean? And it's because of all these different...
It's got to be one of the biggest participating sports, isn't it?
Definitely, yeah.
Like, more than spectator.
Everybody plays golf, don't they, really? Well, no matter what sport you do, like, it'll cross over. Basketball players, American footballers over in England, the tennis players, Andy Murray plays, do you know what I mean? Like, everybody plays
Tyson Fury plays.
Yeah, exactly. Do you know what I mean? Everybody plays golf. So it's just one of them sports that everyone can relate to because it's so difficult and there's so much skill to it. You know, it's good to see now that...
Get you away from your family for 5 hours as well, don't it?
But I mentioned there, didn't I, about the LPGA Tour getting a boost, so it's worth mentioning. Obviously, that's come to a conclusion as well.
Yeah.
The CME Globe, Jin Young Ko.
I can't believe she's only 26, mate.
Well, she's, I think, what was it, 2018? She arrived on tour and went straight to number one within a couple of months, and then she just stayed there till, obviously, Nelly Korda knocked her off this year, but... she's
took a little being about it, didn't it? She's come back with a vengeance, hasn't she?
Vengeance. Well, I had a little look there. Have you seen the stat about the greens and regulations this week?
That blew my mind.
That's just phenomenal.
I thought it meant she shot a 63 on Thursday. I was like,
so she missed the ninth green, didn't she, on Thursday?
Yeah.
And then from the 10th hole on the Thursday afternoon until Sunday when she won, she hit every green in regulation. 63.
And where's she hitting them from, like, everywhere, or is she hitting them from the fairway? Like, is it robotic?
It's just, obviously, she's just dialing in, isn't she?
She's
just dialing it in on, like, I mean, 63.
There's dialed in and then there's hitting 63 greens in a row, do you know what I mean?
To put that into perspective, the highest streak on the PGA Tour this season was Steve Stricker with 35. And even that's impressive. I think below that was somewhere in the 20s. You know, to like, I think there's, we had one or two players. Did Sam Burns do it at 18 greens in regulation one week on the tour? And you were blew away with that, weren't you? You're like, my God, 18
greens. You know what, I read this actually the other day, actually. The odds of hitting 18 greens in a row, and actually, they've got more chance of getting a hole in one.
And she's done 63.
63.
There. It's just phenomenal. I spoke about it a couple of weeks on the pod about a form recently. And then that was her fifth win. Yeah. So with that fifth win, she wins the CM Globe Championship. She also wins the race to the CME Globe. She wins the Rolex Player of the Year.
Back to world number one.
She's back to world number one, isn't she? But in the last, those five wins have come in the last nine tournaments.
That's form.
That is form.
There's nothing else to say about that, but just pure form.
And then to put that into perspective on how well she's played over that period, 29 rounds she shot in the 60s and only four rounds in the 70s. Scoring average over those nine events is 67.4.
Slow that.
And you know, we spoke before about Tiger's scoring average 68. Being 68 and then Morikawa 69. I know that's over a longer period, but still. 87.8 greens in regulation percentage. Nearly 90% of greens in regulation over nine events. Wow. And do you know how much she's earned this season, all in all, for all that golf? $3.5 million.
Oh my God.
It's embarrassing, isn't it?
That's embarrassing, though, isn't it?
Isn't that embarrassing?
Oh my word. Morikawa's earning more per shot, isn't he? Wow, it's almost not worth the effort.
Maybe fact check the three. It might have been 3.5 million just for that week.
No, that probably sounds about right. You know,
about right for the tournament. Yeah,
because Lexi Thompson won like 10 times or something, and she won less than Cantley won in that one event, didn't she?
Yeah. So yeah.
So maybe right. Yeah.
So I just thought it's worth giving Jean Younghoe a bit of
they're getting another boost, aren't they, now, the girls as well. So
that's a good thing. Yeah, we spoke about that before. Yeah, they're getting some money invested. But then even looking at Nelly Korda's season, she's still had an unreal season when you look back at four wins. One of them was a major.
Yeah.
One was a gold medal.
Yeah.
10 top tens. And they scored an average for the season, 68.77. A better scoring average than Colin Morikawa.
I know.
For the season.
It's going to be a good little duel in it next year, them two.
Them two, yeah, going out, yeah. Yeah, and there's a few other up-and-coming players. That Jennifer Kupcho, I think she was world number one amateur, and she's one to watch out. You've got Patty Tabatanik hit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She was a rising star coming up. Obviously, Charlie Hull, I think she shot 63.
That's another highlight of the year, isn't it? Podcast guest getting a W.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, and Ewan getting through to the European Tour. That's
Ewan.
Good.
You an unbelievable season, yeah. You know, we've got a few highlights, really.
No, yeah, definitely. They just keep popping into my brain as I'm floating along.
But no, it's been a good season.
You know, we're having a worldy season until this week. Rory Sabatini. Did you see what happened to him with them stickers? What is the crack with that?
It just makes you think, doesn't it? Like, that. Obviously, he's not getting any performance advantage from having them stickers.
Yeah, but what I've realised now is they're not the strike mark stickers. It's reflective stickers to the TrackMan can pick the numbers up faster. So it holds no advantage if you haven't got the TrackMan.
No, to track the speed of the club, yeah.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. But I thought it was the thing on the face with the strike.
No, it's to track the speed. So the TrackMan can get the speed of the as it's going through. So he will have gained no advantage whatsoever. You know what I mean? And he wasn't, I think 10 under was leading.
Because I said they were putting it down as a training aid.
Well, it is a training aid, yeah.
What if you haven't got your... It's like having the Arcos in the end of your clubs, but not turning the thing on. So it doesn't count.
Suppose you're right, yeah.
That's the first time you've ever said that. That's the nicest thing you've ever said to me. That's the nicest thing you've ever said to me.
Better start somewhere.
You don't know what to do with this. Shit yourself.
I didn't argue back. No, I'll give you that one. No, you're right.
Do you know what I mean? It's a bit weird, isn't it?
It is a bit weird, yeah. It's a training aid, if you've got the
quad out and all that, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, but I don't know. It just struck me as mental.
I always wonder how they find that out.
Must have himself in. It's like the little line on the ball with that fella, remember? And he had the little dash, the Provion dash, and he picked up Paprez's ball.
Yeah, yeah.
He got all the two-shot penalties for everywhere.
Five holes in a row or something. Like. I know. It does, yeah.
Like, some of the things like that, just...
Like, are you dobbing yourself in there if you've got reflectors on the bottom of your club when you finished?
No. Are you?
Yeah.
I don't even dob myself in for swipes in the tree sometimes.
Cheating bastard.
But I mean, no, of course I'm not.
Know what a highlight of my season
is? I don't
think
anyone is.
Know what a highlight of my season is?
What?
You playing open qualifier.
Oh, that was sick, wasn't it?
How's that happened?
What there? Happened there?
How's that happened? I thought you look back at that.
Some like, cheek on me, weren't they?
Ridiculous, like.
I know.
Turning up, winning a pro event.
Lost me head there. And that part, I wish I could go back to that day.
Why? And just
practice well harder than thinking I had it.
But the good news is it's in the bag, innit?
Oh, you know, yeah, you
can do it.
Yeah.
So
it's definitely in the bag, like somewhere.
Yeah, I just need to get mine off the bag.
But yeah, that was a pretty good highlight. You know what the low light of my season was? You telling me to hit that pitching wedge on 14 or whatever it was, 13.
But you know, since then you've tried playing them shots more, haven't you?
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know what I was getting at, don't you?
Of course, the type of shots.
More control.
I've done it the day before as well.
You're just hacking, couldn't handle this.
I just blamed you.
Just full whack at
everything. As soon as pressure comes on me, my hands just flipping.
That was a boss bogey there.
It was
more what happened after the bogey.
Just
collapsed. Wouldn't speak to me. Knocked a driver onto like two fairways away.
Triple bogey, double. Like,
what was good about
going...
that next hole as well, when you hit that shot, is the fact that we found the ball and then we both walked up the hill to see a line and we'd lost the ball again.
The only thing I said to you before holes is, where's that? If I couldn't find that, I was walking straight home. I wasn't even going to the clubhouse. I was going home without my car.
Oh, that was fantastic, you know.
I know, boss.
Hopefully we can do that again this year.
Oh, we
that
will, definitely. I'm going to put some good effort in over this winter now.
Now, there's loads. Look back at St. Andrews was a highlight as well. I know you didn't come on that, but that was unbelievable. Portugal was fantastic. What we've just been on there. It's just been a great season, hasn't it?
Just been boss for golf.
Foundations are laid, aren't they?
Oh, 1,000,000%.
We are getting at it next
year. I was done with that consistency now. Like, we're just going to get right into it this winter, into our fitness and into like whatever we need to be doing with coaches and different things, and then next season come out and just smash it.
Yeah,
golf. And
no, I'm gonna have a good go. I think the fitness is the big thing for me this winter.
Yeah,
Deja
shout out from... to Matt as well, 3D Golf Strong, yeah, putting the plans together. Like, he puts plans together, man. We go once a week sometimes, and we're just like, what are we doing here? Like,
he's got some patience with us, to be fair to him. Yeah, but you know what, though, he can see the potential in me.
Yeah,
it's about fucking 10 stones to go here.
Just a walking advert, aren't you? Look at my client. You'll still be putting your six pack pictures up in like 50 years. I've done this to a client once.
Brilliant. So,
but no, it's brilliant.
Before we do end the season finale, then obviously the DP World Tour actually begins this week, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Got the Joe Berg Open. It's the only golf on this week.
The inaugural,
yeah. I know.
Ram Park Golf Club at Johannesburg, South Africa.
Yeah, yeah, it looks lovely, doesn't it? The Firethorn course they're playing on. There's two courses on there, isn't there?
Yeah.
They're playing the Firethorn. I've not seen this course before, to be honest, but par 71, 7,506 yards. But
yeah,
it does look long, but the ball goes miles over there, doesn't
it? I know.
So I think they're going to rip it up. Having a little look at the flyover, signature holes, the 16th, it's 488 yard par 4.
Jesus, we were playing 360 yard par fives the other day.
I'm still bogeying them.
What was like? What was going on with that hole?
I know, it was a crazy one, wasn't it? And then the longest hole, 597 yards, which is the fourth par five. Be interesting to see how the scoring goes. It's been going since 2007, the event. Defending champion.
It's the inaugural.
What?
It's the inaugural.
The inaugural what?
The event of this.
The Joe Berg Open.
That's what it said on the European Tour website.
It was the inaugural event of the DP World Tour.
No, it said no past winners when I looked on it. Straight to
God. What have you been looking at?
Straight. I've done that thing with the postcode.
No, 2007. It might be the inaugural at Ram Park Golf Club.
Yeah.
Well, it's definitely the first time that they played at Ram Park Golf Club, I'm going to say. And it's definitely the first DP World Tour event, but it's not the first Joe Berg Open. 2007, it was when it became the...
You do a lot more research than me, like, so...
Yeah, because in 2000, Richard Stearn was the first South African player to win it, but then he won it again in 2013. He shot 27 under for the four rounds and beat Schwartzel.
History not available. Usually that was me when it's the first one. So there you go.
There you go. Connor's back on the bag on the European Tour.
I see. Who for?
Andrew Wilson. He's he's a guy who made it. In the, he was one of the, I think it was 13th or 12th he finished on the Challenge Tour, Order of Merit.
That's good, isn't it? That you can get a pick up a bag like that, isn't it?
Yeah, well, he was on, is it Craig Howie, the Scottish guy?
Craig Howie.
He was doing a bit of work for him on the Challenge Tour last season.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, he's on this week with Andrew Wilson. So
do you know what, when I seen him out there, I thought he was back with back on Mansell's bag.
Mansell's over in America.
Mansell's over in America, yeah.
Yeah, he's doing some winter training over in America because he's obviously back on the European tour for as and when it's ready. So he's gone over to Florida.
That's mad.
Do some training, yeah. So good luck to Connor on his new bag.
Yeah,
I'm not sure whether whether he's just helping Andrew out because it's someone he knows or whether he's on that bag. I'm not sure. But
he just went out to South Africa and chanced his hand, didn't he?
What?
Might have just went to South Africa and chanced his hand.
Potentially, yeah, I'm not sure. But Slatter's out there as well.
Yeah, I've seen that, yeah.
Yeah, Slatter's out there.
Dean Burmester, David Howell, and Marcus Heligi. What's his name? I just put Sola, say that.
Let's go for Heligant.
Heligant. They're the three players to roll out the, won the DP World Tour.
That Marcus, he's another Dane superstar, isn't he?
Yeah.
Another Danish kid.
Danes are off, aren't they?
He won the Challenge Tour, didn't he?
Oh, was that him, is it? Yeah.
He won the Order of Merit, yeah.
Where does David Howell sit in that three ball?
A legend. I've still got his golf ball that he threw to me. He didn't throw it to me, but he threw it in the crowd and I got it.
Decent.
Got him to sign it as well.
Boss.
That was when he won the
Wentworth,
yeah, that year. Same year. Anyone wants to buy it? I was going for $50,000.
Yeah, you might get some takers on that.
No, looking forward to it.
I fancy Vehement to pick up another W, me.
Is Vehement playing?
Yeah.
Is he, yeah?
Unless I've looked at the wrong thing.
I think you're looking at the wrong tournament, you know.
Nah. Come on. Well, he's got to be playing because I put a 5 on him.
Yeah, he's got to be playing. We'll give you that.
Dean Burmester's favourite.
Yeah.
In the bookies, like.
Yeah. I'm going to go for Marcus Higgleton.
Higgleton?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just think he's come off the back of a win on the Challenge Tour. He's had an unbelievable, I think he won 3 times on the Challenge Tour last season. So, and obviously the Danish are winning everything at the minute. So, you know, the Højgaard brothers smashed it last season, didn't they?
Yeah.
Hansen, who's the defending champion, won a couple of weeks back on the European Tour again, didn't he? And who's the other guy that won, the Danish?
Winters?
Yeah, Jeff Winters.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we had 4 Danish winners.
Danish winters. Called them.
And a partridge in a pear tree. Happy Christmas, everyone. Fuck's sake.
See?
It's great to be back, innit?
Hey, here's one for you. Where's Higo? With all this chat, I'm going to play the Sunshine Tour. He's not even playing the European Tour when it's in South Africa.
Is he not playing now?
Well, he wasn't in the top 5 of the betting, which I thought he would. I would have seen him. Nah, I even typed his name in and I couldn't find him.
There's plenty of South Africans. What I like about these events, these first events in South Africa, is that you always see a rising star, don't you? Because the South Africans produce so many.
Don't be taking the heat off. Here you go. Where is he?
Oh, where is he?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You can't make statements like that and then not play.
Yeah, in your home venue, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Maybe there's three events, isn't
there? Yeah.
Maybe he's going to play the next couple.
Maybe.
We'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
He'll have a lot to answer for if he's not there next week. I'm going to be on him.
On him, yeah. So you're going for
Vehement
if he's there?
Yeah, if no, he is there.
And I'm going to go for, I'll call him Marcus.
Yeah, Marcus.
Yeah, call him Marcus, yeah. Right.
And the only thing is that is the match, innit? In the PGA Tour.
Who's going to win that?
Bryson, innit?
I think Brooks with his new Strixons.
Well, yeah, well, there's only one other choice, like.
And on that note, we'll wrap it up.
It's good to be back.
Thanksgiving tomorrow, isn't it? So we've got obviously the big sales that are going on, and Pulse Roll are offering 30% off. We've got a link that we've got there that we're going to put into our bio. So all for CBD is still the same. We've also got Max Golf Protein. We've just done a deal with them yet. So
we'll do a few posts about these. We'll just keep everyone up to date on them so we know what
we're just waiting for our, because obviously the sales at the moment, they've got major discounts on the website. So you can access them all through the link in our bios. Just go on the specific one that you want to go on. But next week, we'll be posting out a specific discount code for all of our listeners for Max Golf Protein.
Right, so we go through our link, we get a little kickback. Next week, we'll give you a proper discount.
Proper code, yeah.
So
proper cold.
Proper.
Yeah. Looking forward to watching the golf and see what comes in it.
That's the highlight of my. Now, do you know what the highlight of my season is? The Webb Simpson thing. We just couldn't get it together, man. That was so sick. Habertown Golf Links.
Habertown Golf Links, mate. That was fantastic.
Webb Simpson was the defending champion, wasn't he?
Fucking hell.
After we just
couldn't get together.
What actually happened there?
I don't know.
We had two of them.
We did.
That was the other one, the one where you said that.
Yeah.
Can't wait to see what comes of the golf. And,
I know.
And,
but look, even though we're not going to be doing the podcasts, on a week, we might jump on and do the odd one, mightn't we?
Yeah.
But we have got a load of interviews that we've neglected to get out. So we've got an interview with 3D.
Quite tactfully, really, isn't it? Because now we can slam them out.
Yeah, we just slam them out. Yeah, we knew what we were doing. 3D Golf Strong's coming out either this week or the beginning of next week. Then we've got Callum Blinkhorn, who's a young aspiring professional. He's just got back from America. He's we're going to be releasing his. We've also got Tom Boys from the Up Game app. He works with Tommy Fleetwood, Lucas Herbie,
Jonas Vierman.
Jonas Vierman does
Mimri Lee.
Okay, chill out.
So calm down, Kev.
And then we've got Pewy, who is Lucas Pewy Herbert's dog. Cabbie.
Yeah. Cabbie?
Cabbie.
Never picks him up in his black cab, does he?
He's a cabbie with his bag. And then Big Dunk McCarthy.
Big Dunk McCarthy, yeah.
Yeah. So we spoke to Dunk while he was over in Portugal.
Because we had Dunk on, didn't we? If anyone that hasn't heard that first one, go and have a little listen to it. It's great. And then since then, he's had a couple of winners, a couple of new relationships with new players that blossom. He's caught up from a little season review, yeah. So
yeah,
that's all to look forward to. And we'll be doing a few more interviews, knocking about. We'll start getting the face-to-face interviews going.
Yeah, I think next season we're going to really kick on to doing the shows externally, aren't we? And going to see people and doing a more visual show, aren't we?
Definitely.
And we'll kick on.
As we keep saying, kicking on into YouTube, there's a video about London of you that I've made with that. You make a two on that part three. Oh, it's unbelievable.
Fantastic, isn't it? Yeah.
So
watch this.
Might have already landed by the time people are listening to this, actually, because I'm dying to post it.
Let's get it out there. Let's get it out there. But if you're watching us on YouTube as well, you'll notice our tash. We're doing this for Movember.
Yeah. So, well, we can put this on Instagram as well, can't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
So.
We're not doing this for nothing. So give us your dollar.
Right then, okay. So look, love speaking to you, lad.
Great.
We'll catch you whenever we next back on.
Yeah, go on then.
See you later.
See you in a bit.
Oh, look at that line, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, boy, is he out of sync.